Welcome to a powerful message from the Lighthouse Chapel International, Bronx North Branch. Lighthouse Chapel International branches worldwide provide every member the training, support, and encouragement to fulfill the Great Commission and to go to heaven and hear Jesus say, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." Join us for a life-changing experience as you listen to this message.
Our beloved Father, please come down and lead us.
And it feels like we are in constant worship of the Father, but I think we need to hear a message like this on a day like this. Hallelujah. Especially Jesus, on his last commandment that he gave us, he told us to go into all nations, and teach, hallelujah, all the things that he has commanded us. Hallelujah. And hell is one of the things that Jesus spoke so much about. Hallelujah. It is one of the topics that he preached so much about and he mentioned in so many ways. Hallelujah. Now you realize that hell is not commonly heard in our churches. Amen. Hell is not a word that is commonly heard in our churches. You see, and it makes our, you see, when you talk about hell, it makes your sermon not so exciting. It makes your sermon not, it makes it depressing. Hallelujah. When you talk more about hell, it drives people out of your church. It makes your church not so popular. Hallelujah. And it makes you also appear to be so radical. You are too radical a Christian. You have taken it to extreme. Hallelujah. But hell is a real place. I say hell is a real place. Hell is a place that is prepared and it exists. Hallelujah. But Christians, we trivialize the concept of hell. You see, we trivialize it so much and we make it sound like, you know, something that we say to scare people so you do the right thing. You see how you tell a child, for instance, don't walk backward. If you walk backward, you meet a ghost. You see? And they tell a child, if you are taking a shower, don't sink. Because if you sink, your mother will die. You see? They're scaring you to do the right thing. So that when you walk backward, you know, there's a possibility that you may trip and fall. And so they, as a child, when you are growing up, once you hear this, you never want to walk backward. And you never want to sink when you are taking a shower, because they don't want soap to go in your mouth. They don't want soap to you to choke on something. So they say these things to scare you. And so we also tend to talk about hell as though it's something that we are just saying to make you do the right thing. Do you see? But hell exists. Hallelujah. Hell exists. Hell is not just to scare you to do the right thing, but it truly exists. This is the reason why Jesus came. The reason why Jesus came here on earth was to deliver us from going to hell. The reason why God gave his only begotten son to die for us was for one reason, to deliver us from going to hell. Hallelujah. So no wonder that he talked so much about it. No wonder he had so many messages about hell. Amen. Now, I want you to really believe what you hear. You see, I want you to really believe what is in the Bible. You see, I was looking at the Guinness Book of Records, and they were saying that the Bible is the all-time number one bestseller. All time, across all generations, it is the number one bestseller. There has been about, it describes more than 5 billion copies of the Bible. More than 5 billion copies. That makes it number one. Now guess what is number two? Number two on a Guinness Book of Records is a book, some red cover booklet, actually it's a booklet written by some Chinese Mao. Tong Shonyan, some name like that. And it is his quotations. And you guess how many copies? The second bestseller all time, the second bestseller. It is 800 million. 800 million. The Bible, the number one, is more than 5 billion. And the number two on the Guinness Book of Records is 800 million. Now, you know how the 800 million came about? Because it was a booklet, quotations from this Mao, that all Chinese people were forced to own it. So it was a by force or bestseller. It's a by force bestseller. Do you understand? But the Bible, people own the Bible voluntarily. People read the Bible voluntarily. Beloved, it's not by chance, it's not by accident that such a book which was written more than 2,000 years ago continues to be, to this day, the all-time number one bestseller. It is not by accident. Hallelujah. It is not by accident that it has been rewritten and rewritten and rewritten, and the words are still the same, and it still remains the all-time bestseller. Hallelujah. And I want you to take everything that is in the Bible very seriously. We don't have time, but I would have read some comments that I printed out what people have commented on the Guinness Book of Records when they saw these statistics. Hallelujah. It's not by chance. So if not for anything, take the words that are in this Bible or in this book seriously. Take it seriously. Hallelujah. It is said that Jesus mentioned or talked about hell in about 46 verses. In about 46 verses, Jesus mentioned or talked about hell. Hallelujah. There are places where he called it eternal condemnation, eternal destruction, eternal fire, the place where the worms do not die. Hallelujah. Beloved, hell is an awful place. Hell is an awful place. Last night, as I was meditating on this word, I was thinking of where could you be? Why would you want to be in a place where there is constant fire, where there is constant burning? There was a video recorded by someone who was a complete unbeliever. He was an atheist, a physician, and he had an experience in a hospital, and he decided to look into near-death experiences and clinical death experiences. And people who have experienced clinical death, who were taken to hell, came back, and the things that they said, this particular physician, one day I'm going to show you this video. His name is Maurice Rawlings, Dr. Maurice Rawlings. And he had this experience, and he saw a patient who came back with this frightening, and during the resuscitation, he saw certain things that actually changed him. He actually, an atheist, became a Christian, and now he's spreading the word about hell. Hallelujah. And someone was describing hell. He says that the darkness, no light can quench it. He said, no light can quench it. He says, one person was saying, the stench, when he smelled it, the stench, it was like sulfur, burning sulfur. It's like electricity that is burning. You see, but when you hear this, you see, the first thing that will come in your head is, these things are stories. But what if they are not stories? Hallelujah. What if they are not stories? The Bible has made us understand that man is a spirit. He has a soul. And they are encased or they are housed in a body. So within this body, you have a spirit and you have a soul. Hallelujah. Now, just as you are sitting here right now, you have a body. And your body is covered by your clothes. Do you see? Your body is covered by your clothes. And so you buy a new set of clothes and then you wear them, and then when they get old and they are not usable anymore, what do? You take them off, and the body moves on, gets a new pair or a new set, and puts on. And when that also gets old, you just take off and move on. Isn't that so? So the clothes are housing the body, this body that we have. But you realize also that you can buy new clothes that sometimes they don't get old, but you are forced to put them off. Sometimes you have new clothes that are not old, but accidents do happen. Sometimes they get stains. Sometimes you get caught up in something and then it's ripped. Sometimes you are ironing and it burns. And so as new as the clothes are, you are forced to take it off. Hallelujah. Now such is our lives also. You realize that this body, sometimes it gets so old and then it has to just die and release the soul and release the spirit. Sometimes the body does not get old. Sometimes it just does not get old. But accidents do happen. Things happen that you have no choice but to leave the body and get out. Just as accidents will happen to your clothes, a stain, and you have no choice but to take it off and move on. So you realize that old clothes get thrown off and new clothes also get thrown off. So old people die and young people also die. Hallelujah. So for instance, you go under a tree, you realize that there are not only green leaves or brown leaves that are on the grass. You find all kinds of leaves, especially this time. You find some leaves which are still green and standing and persisting. You find them also on the ground. You find small leaves that look like they just began. And sometimes a strong wind blows, and that small leaf that is so fresh that you think is going to be there forever, you think is going to be there for some years, suddenly you find that leaf that just came out on the floor because some wind just blew. Beloved, sometimes some wind blow and it takes the young and it takes the old. Hallelujah. Sometimes you are not prepared at all to get rid of this dress, but what has happened to it, you are forced to put it off. Sometimes we are not prepared. We don't feel prepared, and we don't feel like the way we feel, we don't feel like we are ready to go. And so we don't feel like the time is near, but suddenly this wind blows. Suddenly a stain comes in the clothes. Suddenly it gets torn somewhere, and you are forced to put it off. Now, when the time comes, where do you go? Hallelujah. I say, when the time comes, where do you go? I want to read one of the stories that Jesus told about hell, and then we can go home. Is that okay? I just want to read from the scripture one of the stories that Jesus told about hell. So if you would turn with me to Luke chapter 16, and the projector team, if you can give it to me in the New Living Translation, I am going to read to you from the King James Version. But give me Luke chapter 16, and I want to read from verse number 19. Luke chapter 16 and verse number 19. Hallelujah. Are you there? The Bible says, there was a certain rich man. I want you to listen to this very carefully. Jesus told of this story. And in most of Jesus' parables or his stories, he doesn't usually use names. Do you see? But this particular story, Jesus used a person's name. Hallelujah. He says, there was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen, and fed sumptuously every day. This rich man was clothing, he was wearing nice clothes, and he ate very well every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate, full of sores. Lazarus had a lot of sores, a lot of ulcers, broken skin. And the Bible says he was laid, or he sat by the rich man's gate, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. What a sight. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. The poor died. The rich man also died. The young dies. The old also dies. The black man dies. The white man dies. Hallelujah. Amen. A man would die. The woman would die. A child would die. The mother can die. The father can die. Hallelujah. And then he says, the rich man died and was buried. And in hell, he lift up his eyes, being in torment, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. So the Bible says, Lazarus died, and the angels carried him into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died. And the Bible says, the next verse, he says, when he lifted up his eyes in hell, he was in hell. He lifted up his eyes. Did you read that? Verse 23. It says, and his soul went to the place of the dead. There in torment, it says, in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torment, and he seeth Abraham. He saw Abraham afar off with Lazarus sitting in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. See, the Bible describes this place as a place where the fire is never quenched. If you are thirsty, you will be thirsty not just for a moment, but you'll be thirsty forever, eternity. It is eternity. You see, when you hear something like that, it sounds so fictitious. It sounds so much of a child's story. But the Bible says the rich man was just there. He died. And when he lifted up his eyes, he was in hell. Hallelujah. Verse 25. You see, so he asked Abraham to ask Lazarus to dip his finger in water and put on his tongue. This is how thirsty he was, that a drop of water from somebody's dirty finger, nose-pricking finger, is even okay for me. Hallelujah. And even that. But Abraham said, verse 25, son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receives thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And besides all this, between us and you there, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which will pass from hence to you cannot do that. Neither can they pass to us that will come from your end. It's a perpetual place, final destination. You cannot change your mind. You cannot come to the other side. And from this side, you cannot go there. Hallelujah. He said there's a great fix, a great gulf fixed between heaven and hell. That once you are there, once you choose one destination and you are arrived there, it is there forever. You cannot change your destination. Hallelujah. See, that is why heaven, you know, you can't allow thieves to come there. Because once you start stealing, we can't send you away. You see, and the place, the streets are gold. Can you imagine that we're going to allow you to start digging? By the time we realize there are potholes on the streets of heaven, Because you are digging. What we cannot afford to accept people to come to hell like that. Hallelujah. Amen. So he said, then he said, verse 27, he said, if I cannot come, then he said, I pray thee, therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. For I have 5 brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Hallelujah. Amen. You see, the reason why a lot of us, we don't seem so concerned about hell, and we don't care about even people who are going there, and we don't think about it, even for ourselves. The reason is that we do not have an understanding of what is hell, or where is hell, and how it is. And we do not have any revelation of how hell is. So, you see, we don't seem to care too much. But this guy, the Bible says, he says, he was begging Father Abraham. He was begging him. He says, the previous verse, verse 27, he says, if he cannot come, if Lazarus cannot cross over to me to deliver me from death, then, he says, then the rich man said, please, Father Abraham, at least do me this favor. At least send him to my father's house. At least send him to my father's house to do what? To do what? He says, because, next verse, quickly, please. Because for I have 5 brothers. I have 5 brothers. And I want him to warn them so they don't end up in this place of torment. I have five brothers. And for what I am seeing and what I am feeling and what I'm experiencing, I do not want them to come to this place. He says, I don't want them to come to this place. And he knows his brothers. He says, go and warn them. Warn them from what? Warn them from what they are doing. Warn them that they don't come here, because he knows them. He was with them. He knows them. He said, please, Father Abraham, just do me this favor. Send someone. Send Lazarus. Send anyone. Send him. At least, if you will not do anything, please send someone to go and tell my brothers that this thing is real, that hell is real, that they don't come here. Now, what was Abraham's answer and solution to this special request? Let's look at the next scripture. But Abraham said, Moses and the prophets have warned them. You cannot sleep when I'm preaching this message, please. The devil is putting you to sleep because he doesn't want you to hear. And if you sleep, I will cause you to stand up because I want you to hear. And this is the part that I want you even to hear even the more. And that enemy is putting you to sleep. You have belittled hell. You have taken it lightly. And the Lord is here to deliver you today. I said, the Lord is here to deliver you. I said, the Lord is here to cause you to hear something. You have taken it as a child's story. It says, but Abraham said, Moses and the prophets have warned them. Your brothers can read what they have written. He says, Moses and the prophets have warned them. Your brothers can read what they wrote. What did they write? That is what I'm sharing with you. What did they write? That is a message. So Moses and the prophets have written. So he's asking, he's begging. He says, send someone to go and tell them. He says, they have Moses and they have the prophets. Let them hear them. They have preachers. Let them hear them. Hear what? Hear the message that I'm preaching to you this afternoon. Hear what I'm telling you this afternoon. He says, let them hear them. Beloved, I want you to hear me. Hallelujah. Then the man said, let's look at the next scripture. He says, and he said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, if someone from here went to them to preach, to tell them what is here? If someone who has experienced this, if someone who sees how heaven is and how hell is, will go from here and tell them, they will believe. And Abraham said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead and went back to tell them. Hallelujah. He says, no, Father Abraham, I know my brothers. I know how they are. If someone was coming from the dead, if someone who has experienced what I'm experiencing is telling them, then they will believe. Abraham said, they have the prophets. They have the preachers. Right now, they are hearing. He said, they have the preachers. Right now, they are hearing. Right now, they are hearing. Let them hear them. Let them hear what the preachers are saying. He says, no, 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 no. I know my brothers. If someone from the dead were to come, then they will believe. I know my brothers. They laugh at preachers. When they are preaching, they laugh. They say, this is a joke. I know my brothers. I know them. They laugh at evangelists. When people go out on the street to evangelize, they call them, they brush them off. They see them, they brush them, they walk away when they see you coming with a truck. He says, I know my brothers. I know the kind of people they are. People have given them trucks and they put them on the in the trash bin. He says, I know my brothers. But if someone were to go from here, someone were to go from the dead, then they will believe. But beloved, Abraham is saying, even if someone were to go from here to the dead, from the dead to the living, they will still not be persuaded. Hallelujah. Amen. Beloved, God is not ready to impress you. God is not prepared to impress you. I can imagine some of your relatives who have passed on, they are pleading, they are pleading. They are begging, they are praying that as you are hearing this message today, you pay heed, you pay attention. They are praying. Say, may this message today touch his heart. May this message today touch her heart. He does not want to come here. I know what I'm experiencing. Please, Father Abraham, let me go and remind, let me go, at least in a dream, let me reveal to them that hell is real. I am in hell and I know how it is. Please, let me go. He says, no, 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 no. They have the preachers standing right in front of them right now. Let them hear them. 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 He says, it's not a matter of the preacher. The problem is not the preachers. The problem is not who is preaching. The problem is not who is delivering the message. The problem is their unbelief. He says, even if someone from the dead were to come, they will not be persuaded. The problem is their unbelief. Hallelujah. The problem is their lack of faith. And beloved, God is not prepared to impress you. God is not ready to impress you. God is not going to give you some supernaturally fantastic, unheard of type of message to come for you to believe. God is not ready to believe, to give you a kind of message like that to impress you. He says, Moses and the prophets have written. Let them hear them. Hallelujah. He says, Moses and the prophets have written. Let them hear them. The Bible says, in Hebrews 11 verses, it says that without faith, it is impossible to please God. That means that without faith, without you believing, it is impossible for God to save you. It is impossible for God to show you favor. It is impossible for God to show you kindness. I say, without faith, you cannot be saved. If you do not believe, you cannot be saved. Hallelujah. And if you are looking for proof and you are looking for detailed things to prove to you that this is real, then beloved, you cannot be saved. You see, you believe in what you see. You believe that you have a brain, even you have not seen the brain before. You believe you have a heart, even though you have not seen your heart. How many of you have seen their hearts before? If you have seen your heart before, let me see. Maybe you have seen a chicken's heart, but you don't know if you have the same heart. Do you see? So, you see, But we believe because somebody can prove to you that you have a heart. Hallelujah. But you see, you believe in the seeing is believing type of thing, the worldly wisdom. But do you believe that you have memory? How many of you believe that you have memory? You have memory that you can remember things. That when you are taught, you will remember. When something is told you, you will remember. But how many of you have seen your memory before? Can I see by show of hands, you have seen your memory before? Or you have felt your memory before? But you believe in your memory. You trust in your memory. And you believe that once you see it, it will be remembered. Hallelujah. But you do not believe. And God is not prepared to impress you. Hallelujah. I say God is not prepared to impress you. Amen. So you realize that giving your life to Christ, when the Bible says you are saved, it means a lot has gone in for you. It means a lot has been done for you. You see, when you say, when for instance, a woman is having a wedding, and the day of the wedding, you see the woman nicely dressed, beautiful gown, nice hair done, nice makeup, nice shoes, everything so beautiful, nice music, nice people, nice everything. You see, all you are seeing is a beautiful wedding. But a lot has been done. A lot has gone in. The woman has taken about a year planning for this particular day alone. A lot has been paid in the makeup alone. A lot has been paid in the gown, the shoes alone. It was about 3 months search for the shoes. The gown took about a year and a half to find the right gown. Sometimes going through 3 different gowns before they can find the right one. So a lot had gone in before you see that day. When the Bible says you are saved, a lot has gone in. There's so much that has been done for you to be saved. Hallelujah. But you see, it sounds like as simple a thing as you just come and you say the sinner's prayer and you are saved. Yes, true. That is what it is. But a lot has gone in. The Lord has delivered you from the world of unbelief for you to even rise up and stick out your hand and say, I want to receive Jesus Christ as my Savior. A lot has gone in. A lot has been deposited. The Lord has shown you great mercy for you to rise up and accept something like that. You have been delivered from the dullness of your ear that you are hearing. You have been delivered from blindness that you have eyes, but you can't see. You have been delivered for you to rise up and say, I accept Jesus Christ as my Savior. A lot has paid. A lot has been paid. A lot has been paid. That is why you don't see everyone standing up and receiving Christ. So if you are here and you have received Christ, a lot has gone in for you. I say a lot has been done for you. Christ has done a lot for you. You have been delivered from your wretchedness that you do not know. You know, when someone is wretched, when you are wretched, you see, you understand what is wretchedness. You have been delivered from your wretchedness. When someone is wretched, when you see someone that is wretched, it means that the person is not even aware of his or her wretchedness. Do you see? There's a certain country you find people very wretched. They are stripped naked. They are walking on the street naked, and they are walking around like that, you know. And they can come and stand in front of people, you see, and they are begging for money like that, you know. Everything naked like that, you see. They are so wretched, but they are not even aware. But you who are sitting there, when you see a person like that, you feel so sorry for the person. How wretched can a man be? How low can a man be? Beloved, such wretchedness have you been delivered from that you have been saved. Such wretchedness have you been delivered from. Because the preaching of the word is so... Let me show you a scripture in 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 17. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 17. Is the Lord speaking to somebody this afternoon. It says, for Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. Hallelujah. He says, the preaching, I'm not coming with some exciting, some prophetic words, some tantalizing words, the words of wisdom. I'm not coming with it. Lest the power of Christ, the power of the cross, is run without effect. Hallelujah. He says, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. Beloved, it sounds real to you. It sounds reasonable to you because you are not perishing, because you are delivered. But for them that are perishing, it's a foolish thing. What you are saying makes no sense. There is no hell. It means nothing because they are perishing. He says, the preaching of the word, the preaching of the gospel is to them that are perishing foolishness. But unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. For us which are saved, it is the power of God. For you to be saved, it is the power of God. For you to be saved, a lot has gone in to deliver you. For you to be saved, God has shown you such great mercy that you did not deserve. But for the ones that are perishing, it sounds so foolish to them. It sounds so useless. It sounds so meaningless. How can an educated man like you talk like that, believe in a thing like that? It sounds so foolish. And the word of God says, it says, for it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and I will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Had not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. He says, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of the preaching, by the foolishness of this message that I'm preaching. God save them that believe. God save them that believe. I say, God is not prepared to prove anything to you, save that you believe in what you hear. Hallelujah. Save that you believe in what you hear. Beloved, you are hearing one of the greatest things that God will want you to hear. But let it not sound so foolish in your ears. Do not have the worldly wisdom. Don't be preoccupied with the worldly wisdom that seeing is believing. He says that you cannot be saved because it is them that believe. Hallelujah. He says, for the Jews, they require a sign. And the Greeks, they seek after wisdom. They seek philosophical explanation. They seek philosophical wisdom. Explain to me how the resurrection is possible. Explain to me how that the man that has died can rise up again. Explain to me. I want proof. He says they seek wisdom. They seek philosophy. They seek understanding. And they want signs. Show me who has gone and come. They want signs. They want signs. But we preach Christ crucified. I say we preach Christ crucified. Unto the Jews who are looking for sign, it is a stumbling block. And unto the Greek, it sounds foolish because there is no wisdom in it. Hallelujah. So beloved, if you are sitting here and you are saved, God has delivered you from so many things. That a wise person like you in the world, educated, and you believe in salvation, and you believe in resurrection, God has done so much for you. Because God, by his wisdom, used the foolishness of preaching to save you. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. I want to read one more scripture, if you allow me. Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13. And verse number 10. Matthew 13 and verse 10. Is God speaking to someone this afternoon? Matthew 13 and verse 10, it says, "And the disciples came and said unto him, Why speakest thou unto them in parables? This is a story about when Jesus has talked about the sower of the seed. And the disciples came to him and they asked him, they said, Why do you speak to them in parables? He answered and said unto them, Because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. For you, it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them, it is not given." He says, he answered and said, "Because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them, it is not given." It is not given. He says, "For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that which he hath." And he says, it is given unto you to understand the mysteries of the kingdom. It is given unto you to understand the mysteries of the kingdom. And when you have received, this which has been given unto you, Jesus is saying, more abundance will be added unto you. When you have come to understand and accept that the word of God is the final authority and is the word of God, you will come to receive abundance. He says that, to him that hath, more shall be added. That is why as you have received the word of God as a final authority, you say, yes, I am a wife, but I shall submit to my own husband. And when you receive that, you see yourself more of abundance adding to a wife. More of abundance, the joy of marriage adding unto your life. The joy of marriage reaping in your home because you have received the word of God as a final authority. You have received the mysteries of the kingdom of the word. And he says, more shall be added unto you. He says, more shall be added unto you. But to him which has not been given, that one he will find a wife. He will find a husband. But because he has not accepted the understanding of the mysteries of the kingdom, that which he has received, it shall be taken away from him. That is why you see marriages being broken because they have not received that which shall be added. They have not received, even though they have received, it is being taken away from them. The joy, the blessing that comes into marriage, it is taken away from them. The joy that's supposed to come into marriage, it is being taken away from them because they have not received the mysteries of the kingdom. But he says, to them that have received, to you which has been given, more abundance shall be given unto you. Abundance shall be given unto you because you have accepted it. Hallelujah. Because you have accepted it. Amen. I say, because you have accepted it. Hallelujah. Amen. Therefore, more will be added unto you. I say, more will be added unto you. More will be added unto you. The peace that comes in marriage, it will be added unto you. Have you not realized? As you have been saved, now you go home and you don't mind where you put your phone. You don't mind who is going to read your text messages. Because you are saved and you have received Christ. And he says that to every man a wife. And you have received a wife and that is all you have. There is nothing else. There is nothing else entangling you. And so you go home and your bank statement, you are lying around. You don't care who is going to read it. You don't care who is going to see your paycheck. You don't care. When the phone call comes in, you are taking a shower. And your phone is lying there because you can't. The only place you can carry your phone is when you are in the shower. So as you are in the shower, your phone is on the sink. And you are taking a shower. And your phone rings and you come out of the shower with your water. Lest your wife, picks up the phone and see that CC just called. But to them who have received this mystery, I am taking a shower. My phone is in the living room. I don't care who looks at my phone. I don't care who calls me at 1 a.m. I don't care who calls me at 10 a.m. Because I have received the mysteries of the kingdom. I have received the mysteries that as a man, I don't need many wives to make me happy. Because it is the mystery of the kingdom that one woman can make me happy. And I don't need another woman. And so I don't care where I leave my letters. I don't care who reads my email. I don't care who reads my text messages. He says to you, that peace, it comes upon you. Because the mysteries of the kingdom, it has been added unto you. The mysteries of the kingdom, it has been added unto you. He said, because you have received that mystery. It's so mysterious. It has been added unto you. Hallelujah. The foolishness of the word of God. Beloved, God says he has exalted the word. He has exalted his word. He has that such is the value of the word of God, that if you would accept it, he says it will be added unto you. I just want to read one last scripture and then we can go home. One last scripture. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And let's read from verse number 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Hallelujah. Are you in 2 Corinthians chapter 4? Okay, let us read from verse 3. Just read this and then we can go home. It says, listen very carefully. It says, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. If this gospel is hidden, it is hidden to them that are lost. He says, if the gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. If our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. If you cannot hear it, if you cannot understand it, if you cannot receive it, it is hidden from them that are lost. Why? It says, in whom the God of this world had blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest the light of this glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus, the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. See, there's a God of this world who have blinded the minds of you, that you hear, but you cannot understand. That you see, but you cannot perceive. Because there is a God of this world. He says that your hearts, they are waxed. They are closed. That you cannot receive. Beloved, if you are sitting here this afternoon, the word of God says, if you hear his voice, harden not your heart. Like on the day of the provocation. He says, if you hear his word, harden not your heart. The Lord is speaking to you. Hell is real. Heaven is real. You will only find out when you die. Now what if? What if there is no turning back? There is not the other side. What if? What if it is true? What if it is true? What if it's not a joke? What if this is real? What if? Why do you want to go to hell? Ask your neighbor, why do you want to go to hell? Tell your neighbor, don't go to hell. Ask your neighbor, what in hell do you want? What in hell do you want? He says, if you hear his word, hearken not. Hearken not. Beloved, you may not hear this again. There's only two ways. Either the Lord meets us, he comes now, or we go to meet him. I say the young will go to meet him, the old will go to meet him. There is no telling when we will go. Have you asked yourself, what if this is true? What if this is real? What if there is indeed hell? What if there is indeed heaven? What if? Put your hands together for the Lord and stand unto your feet. 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 lift up your hand and sing unto the Lord. Oh, gentle Savior, hear my humble cry. While on earth as thou art calling, the God of this world that has blinded the eyes of them, the God of this world who has blinded their eyes, that they will see but they cannot perceive, the God of this world, the God of this world, the God of this world, the God of this world. Personal cry. You say, I don't want to go to hell. I am not going to hell. Save me, Jesus. Save me, Jesus. He came. This is the reason he died for you. This is the reason Jesus was manifested. This is the reason. Yes. Oh. Yes.
Thou art calling me, Lord.
Do not pass me by.
Sing again. Pass me not.
Pass me not, oh gentle Savior.
He will not pass you.
If you want to believe, he said, if you have a heart prepared, if you believe in your heart, oh, sing it as your prayer. Yes. You may not hear this message again. You may not hear this again. It may be the last time. Father, we thank you. We thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, for speaking to us. We thank you, Lord. If you are here this afternoon, beloved, this is what Jesus wants you to hear. That rich man, I believe he heard one such message for the last time, and the Lord called him. He heard it one more time and he laughed. And he said in his head, it's a joke, it's a story. Beloved, the God of this world has blinded your eyes and he has sealed your ears. And right now he's telling you, he says, it's a joke, it's a story, don't believe it. How can you believe a thing like that? That rich man heard one last message like that. He heard one more preacher and he still said, it's a joke. He still said, as long as I am healthy, as long as I am rich, as long as I can afford to buy anything, these things are stories. We die and there's nothing else. Or give me another week. Let me think about it. Let me pray about it. Next month, I will consider. Next time I'm in church, today is my first time. Let me think about it. This is the first time I'm hearing something like this. Beloved, you may not hear this again. You may not have another chance to hear this. You may not have another opportunity to hear this. If he calls you today, if he were to come today, if he calls you today, what will be your destination? It is a choice, and you only have two. There are only two choices. It is a choice. You can choose this afternoon and say, if I die, I am going to be with Jesus. Or you can choose this afternoon that if I die, I am going to hell. I am going to a place of torment. Beloved, it's not something we say to scare you. It's not a child's story. But it's a place that no one would want anyone to go there. It's a place that your loved ones who are past will not want you to go there. If you are here this afternoon, you say, I want to receive Jesus Christ as my Savior. I want to come to Jesus as my Savior. I want this salvation. I want to receive Jesus. I go to church every Sunday, but I have not truly received Christ as my Savior. In my heart, I know that if I were to die today, I am not sure where I'm going. If that is your prayer, with all eyes closed, every head bowed, all eyes closed and every head bowed, if your prayer is that you want to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, wherever you are, wherever you are standing, just lift up your right hand and I'll say a very short prayer with you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you, my brother. God bless you. God bless you. Anyone else? God bless you. God bless you, my brother. God bless you. Anyone here like that? You don't want to experience it. You don't want to die. Just keep your hand up. Just keep your hand up. You want to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. You want to receive. Just keep your hand up. God bless you. God bless you. The Bible says the angels rejoice. It is for this reason that Christ was made manifest, to destroy the works of the enemy, to destroy the voice that is talking to you and saying, don't believe it. It is a lie. It is for this reason that Christ was made manifest. Anyone here, you want to give your life to Jesus? Anyone here, you want to join them? You want to join them? You want to join them? Oh, the angels are rejoicing because of you. The angels are rejoicing. Beloved, I want you to take one bold step. One bold step. And come here with me. Come here. Come, just come here. Take one bold step and come forward. Just come. Just come. Just come. Just come. Just come here. Just come. Just come. My brother, just come. Just come. Just come. My sister, just come. Just come. 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 Don't be ashamed of salvation. Don't be ashamed of Christ. Oh, yes. There were other hands that I saw. If your hand was lifted up, don't be shy. Christ was not ashamed when he was embarrassed for you. Come, my sister, come, come, join them. Join, join. If you lifted up your hand, join them. Join them, join them. Come, come. Join them, join them. Come, come. Yes.
We hope you have been blessed immensely by this message. Join us at 1734 Williamsbridge Road in the Bronx on Sunday afternoons and Tuesday evenings. For copies of this and other messages, contact us via email at lci.bronx@gmail.com.